Yo, what's going on? It is 1 p.m. here in Crystal Lake, Illinois. It's time for another live stream. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Is today the last day of the month? Is tomorrow May? Is there an April 30th? 30 days has September, April. No, today's the last day of April. Guys, this month flew by for me. I don't know if it did for you guys. I was gone for most of the month. And so that's what's probably why the month felt like it went by so fast. And it's also why I've got so many packages today. Today we're going to do two packages. One is from, I don't know if you guys will recognize this tape. That's a Deckers Lab tape, but it's not from Deckers Lab. It's from Hoka. And then this other one I think is a camera in here. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. We'll get to all those in just a minute. But I got to tell you first, I'm going to apologize because I'm still a little bit disoriented. You know, I'm not back into the regular routine yet. And one of the things I don't have, I still don't have my sounds because I don't remember where I put that SD card that has the sounds on it, and I haven't put it back into the soundboard yet. So we won't have any sounds today. And I just got back from the dentist as well. And so that, I'm not like, you know, they didn't give me laughing gas or anything like that. They didn't even give me Novocaine today. But just things feel off when you come out of the dentist's office. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at now. Hopefully we'll still have a good show. Before we get to it, let's say hi to everyone listening on the audio-only version on the podcast. Guys, today the weather was just about perfect in Crystal Lake. So hopefully you're getting perfect weather for your run as you're listening to this. And for everyone watching this later but not live, this is the number one place to get weather feedback from around the world. Here it's... Right now, it's probably about 60, 65 degrees. Sunny, no wind, calm and balmy. Let me know how it is where you guys are. Let's see who we got here in the chat. Daniel Burton says it's super windy here in Greeley, Colorado. All right. I didn't even know that was there. It worked out perfectly. Eliza says, hi, CoFam. So much to unbox today. We might even get to some other ones because I just realized I have a couple of bags over there that I got to get to that I had before I even left for my big trip. So those have been sitting here for a while. And Runtime, he says, I feel like today would be a good Trivia Tuesday, mostly because it's Tuesday. I know, I just didn't have time to get to the trivia today. I forgot that I had the dentist thing. So I just did not have time to prepare. I barely even had time to squeeze in a run. And fortunately, I don't have too much on the docket in terms of like training schedule, because I've not been getting a lot of running in. But right now, I'm just trying to keep the legs moving. Been trying to get some trail miles in. Just to reacclimate myself. I did read over the rules for the Tiger Claw 50K, and I believe I read in the rules that there's no trekking poles allowed, which I feel like now that I know how to use trekking poles or kind of know how to use trekking poles, I really like them, and I felt like that would have probably helped me out quite a bit during the run. And now I'm a little bit nervous that I can't have trekking poles. I don't know. Sean Delvin series says, hey, Crystal Lake Run Club. Nice to have the live stream back. It's good to be back. Daniel Burton says, it's an Excel day. I know you guys love to call it Excel, but I'm using Google Sheets. And I know a lot of the basic functionality that you guys want me to use is available in Google Sheets. But I just want to make sure that we kind of leave that out there as, you know, we're all clear on that's what's really happening on these things. It's Google Sheets. I guess it doesn't matter all that much. All right. Mark Peterson says this. This sounds like a news broadcast. There's a double unboxing today in Crystal Lake. That and more tonight at 6. Yeah, it does sound like the news. I think it's pretty fun. You know, like I watch so... I've told you guys before. I think you guys knew this. I watch probably way too much news. I've always enjoyed news. I think I blame... My dad's partly to blame. He used to just watch the Weather Channel over and over again on loop. When I was young, that's one of my first memories of him watching television. It's just him just watching the Weather Channel over and over. And then, you know, in middle school, we had Channel 1. And so, like, Wolf Blitzer has been part of my kind of, like, daily routine since, like, I don't know, 1993, 1992, something like that. So it was a long time. But anyway, in Europe, in London, it was not too hard to watch news. I don't find the BBC news all that interesting. It's a little bit too dry. So I just wasn't watching it a lot. And then when I was in Germany, I didn't understand any of it except for what was on BBC. And so, like, I just didn't watch that much news. And I kind of was relieved at that, but I also just like to watch news too. Like 24-hour news television. So I was missing it a little bit. I love the news. I used to really love local news too, but then local news has changed in the last 5-10 years. So I don't find it as entertaining anymore, but I've always just been kind of a news junkie, especially morning news shows. All right. Rich Dies on Not Dick says, don't forget to pay rent, my fellow non-homeowners. Too much is going into shoes, I guess. LOL. I suppose it's rent is due time. Rent is due. All right. And Luis says, yo, what's going on? It's the last day of taxes here in Mexico. Oh, you guys get a long time. April 30th. That feels like it makes more sense, too. If anything, it should be March 31st, end of the first quarter, you know. But I always struggled to get it in by April 15th, you know. So. Shannon's here. She says, hey, Kofamzy. Bishaw Mama's here. And Sean says, you know, we need an analog cowbell. I should get the analog cowbell out today. Speaking of analog cowbells, I'm pretty excited that I missed my daughter's first two track meets of the season while I was gone. So I'm excited to see her get to race today. Today's really nice weather. She has a track meet today and tomorrow. And I feel like one is like, I think today is going to be a bigger meet. But tomorrow is a more important meet. I think tomorrow's conference. So I don't know. I have to actually look up because I'm trying to figure out. I feel like today's a really good day for racing. And she went to bed early last night, she told me, and was nice and relaxed. So I'm thinking, like, if she needs to make the state meet, does she? I don't know the Illinois rules. Can she only make the state meet by winning at sectionals? Or is there a time qualifier? And if there's a time qualifier, today might be a good day to go for that time qualifier. So we'll see. I have to do some research after this. Not that I'm taking her middle school track career too seriously or anything. But I'm just, that's on my to-do list for today. All right. Shannon says, speaking of the trekking poles, Shannon says, I want another trekking pole tutorial in a live stream by Co. I don't want to say I'm good at it now. Like every time I go to a trail race, and there's like an expo, every time I go to a trail race. That time I was at UTMB, and that time I was at Western States. The trekking poles company, they usually have Lakey, usually has a booth, and they do like a kind of like a Rubik's Cube solving challenge, but it's with the trekking poles. You have to fully extend it, fully compact it, put it down, and then hands up. I feel like everyone, I think maybe the next time I see one of those booths, I should try it. I think it would. You would measure me in minutes, maybe, not seconds. all right, more weather. We got 63 and partly cloudy in Minneapolis. Loving it. That sounds really nice. That sounds like it's just here. Vanessa's got 82 degrees in Austin. Nice. Yeah. And Bishan Mom has 80s weather. The 80s weather channel was great. Actually showed the weather. Yeah. That like it was like smooth jazz on the weather on the eights, local on the eights. That was really good. DZR Aperture says, my parents watching the national news every night made it a habit for me as well. My coworkers make fun of me. I mean, I remember for me, my parents never like watched the news every night. But my dad did make me like read a newspaper a lot of newspapers every day. I wouldn't read the whole thing, but he would tell me about how someone's son who got into Harvard used to read the New York Times front to back every day. You know, the Asians will find that funny in the live stream. So I would read the newspaper, you know, maybe just like the Section A every day. And then I'd have to read, he's got me a subscription to Time Magazine. So I was just reading, he made me read a lot of news growing up. Jokes on him though. I'm pretty bad with reading comprehension, to be honest with you, still. It's not my strong suit. Adam says, I like the news. I'm somewhat of a political junkie. It's not remotely doom-scrolling for me. It's info. Yeah, I like to think that, but for me too, you know? But I'm sure I probably like it a little too much, I guess, maybe. I don't know. All right. Kevin wants to know, will Traxxas send you their Elliott Racer? Did you get to arrange that while at Boston? I imagine I will get a pair at some point to test. That shoe is not ready yet. And so they, what the athletes ran in Orlando was very much considered a prototype. And so I've not held it before. I know they had it available for some people to look at TRE last December. I didn't have a meeting set up with them, so I didn't have a chance to go look at it. But at some point I'll get a closer look at it, but I haven't seen it yet. You know. Richard Wilson says Western States doesn't allow pole. Oh, maybe it wasn't at Western States. I saw that. I saw the booth at UTMB for sure, though. I've seen it somewhere else. I'm trying to think of what other place I would have seen it. I thought Western States. Is it an environmental thing? Is that why certain places don't allow trekking poles? I like trekking poles. I don't know. Miguel's here. He wants to know, Miguel Smalls 26.2 says, yo, what were the secret shoes you tried with Thomas and Believe in the Run in Boston? Spill the beans. I can't tell you. Oh, I didn't try secret shoes with Thomas in Boston. I tried secret shoes with Connor in Boston. And I'm pretty sure that shoe, which I have, by the way, Connor gave me a pair. I don't know if I'm supposed to have it. But I have a pair of those. And I'm pretty sure that that shoe is one of the shoes I also happened to test in Germany. I didn't tell anybody that though. But I'm pretty sure it's the same. One of them is the same. Steve McKellar says, yo, what's going on? I got a 1:45 PB in the Toledo half on Sunday. I may have broke 2 hours if I didn't throw up with 200 meters to go. Ah, Steve, let me just get a round of applause for that one though. Good job, Steve. I feel like, though, I mean, if you didn't push yourself hard enough to vomit 200 meters to go in the race, who knows? You might not have ever been anywhere near PB territory. You know what I mean? So, like, I say take it for what it's worth. Don't worry about, like, oh, I could have done whatever. Just enjoy the good result from the day. Let's do two more and then we'll get to a box. Mark Peterson says, did I see that 860,000 people have entered the lottery for London 2025? I don't know what the exact number is, but it last year's was like over 500,000 people entered the lottery. And that was a record setting year. And then this year broke that by like, I think they said 50%, 25%. So that, I think your numbers are right, Mark. So this was an even much substantially larger amount of people. I can't imagine. Whose face do you think they're going to use for the rejection email? How gleeful do you think that rejection email is going to be? I feel like if last year there were like 540,000 people tried to get into this race, most of them have to realize they're getting a rejection, and that's on you if you thought you were actually getting into this race. And so happy face. Sorry, you didn't get it. That's what they did last year, remember? I can't imagine how fiendish they're going to be for this year. Oh, man. Yeah, it's... Yeah. That's a lot of people. All right. Gender and Triangle has a shoe question of the day. Oh, I don't have the sound. Yeah. What up? That's the shoe question of the day sound. Jen asks, the shoes Helen O'Berry wore at Boston were interesting. They didn't look like anything currently available. Is that race legal? Something coming soon from On? What can you share? I have no information from On this, so I can just speculate all day. My understanding is that it is another shoe. So here's the thing. This is the second time, and I there's so many things I want to discuss about this. This is the second time Helen O'Berry has won the Boston Marathon in a shoe that is not available for sale from On. And the second time that we are probably never going to be able to buy anything like the shoe that she won in. So last year when Helen O'Berry won the Boston Marathon, she ran in a shoe that I was told, or I found out, or the rumor mill all seemed to agree, was supposed to be a triathlon shoe. And so it was like kind of built for easy on, easy off. And then triathlon for a moment had slightly different rules than World Athletics in terms of what shoes were permitted. But then I think this shoe fit within both World Athletics. Clearly it had to. And triathlon rules, but it was still kind of supposed to be a triathlon shoe that we were supposed to be able to see later on in the year. But it never materialized, as far as I know. And then this year, they've kind of done the same thing, but this time it's not a triathlon shoe. It's just a different shoe. Now, it's race legal as long as it falls within 40 millimeters and has only a single carbon or rigid element in it, or a single plane of rigid element in it. Even if it's something that's never becomes available for sale. And that's why when everyone was like, oh, they had to release a certain number of these Adios Pro Evo 1s for sale for race legal purposes. I'm like, I don't think you understand how the rules work. An athlete is allowed to run in a prototype shoe, provided that they submit it for testing beforehand, and you also have to submit it for testing afterwards. It has to be checked and approved. A lot like, for those of you that did the throws or any of the field events in high school track, like you had to have your shot put like checked to make sure that it was legal, or your discus checked to make sure it's legal. You have to do that with the race shoes now. That's why they do the kit check beforehand. And so like it has to pass all those rules. But if it's marked as a prototype beforehand, it doesn't have to be like reasonably available or whatever other language it is to the rest of the competition. I think there's some other condition though that like if you do race in a race prototype, that prototype either has to hit the market within a certain number of months or it can never be released or something like that. I'm not really sure exactly. I don't know what the or else part of the it better be released soon or else part means. But that's my understanding of it. I'm a little bit shaky on that last part, but pretty sure that's how it goes. And so I have a feeling that the same thing is going to happen now with this new shoe. It looks great. Maybe it's perfect for Helen O'Berry. She does have quite an unusual gait. So maybe it's perfectly designed for her. It's a race prototype. Great news for On, kind of. No one can ever buy it. And no one's going to want to buy the On Cloudboom Echo 3 because now it's two generations behind what Helen O'Berry has been running in, I guess, right? So that's what I think is a problem. It's like they have this great moment, but no product to tie back to it, you know? So it just, I'm not saying it's like a waste, but I'm just like, can they just, I mean, we all know that there's problems with just releasing a super shoe onto the market. If it's not ready, I get it. So I appreciate their restraint, but it's just like, it's a real bummer. It's a real bummer that there isn't like good race product that the public can then learn more about through that. So I feel like there's just a lot to unpack with what happened with On. But yeah. All right. Let's see. Calvin says, shout out to Hella for smashing sub 3 and getting 255. That wasn't his first sub 3, though, was it? Because he was shooting for 250, like 2 or something like that in Boston last year, I remember. But was that his first sub 3? I think it might have been, though. I don't know. Apollonis says, I have a question with shoe sizing. I wear 9.5 US in Deviate Nitro 2, Endorphin Pro 4, 1080 version 13, and Novelest 3. I want to try the Boston 12. The only available size is a US 9 US. Would it fit? Maybe, but I probably would not do that. Adidas shoes tend to run a little bit long, but like when I got to Germany this like last week, everyone got a pair of Takumi Sen 10 in the Road to Records color pack, and they gave me a size 8.5. It technically fit my foot, but it's not something I would want to race in. And so like it, your foot will fit inside, but the shoe won't feel as good as it would have felt, and your foot might be uncomfortable. So I feel like it's very rare that I recommend or think it's okay for people to size down in it. All right, Rajkumar Rashinji says, London question, were you okay with the Soar marathon shorts? Or you prefer the rabbit half tights you used before? What about Marathon Speed Paris versus Puma Fast R's you were originally planning? Thanks. The marathon shorts from Soar were great. I don't know that I'm a marathon split shorts person. So like, if I were to run another marathon in split shorts, it would probably be those. It would most definitely be those because they fit my Science and Sport gels. I just felt like I was bouncing around a lot. I mean my thighs. So like, I feel like the compression of the half tights, I think works for me. I think it's something that I need. And coincidentally, you know, I saw the prototype. I don't know if they're prototypes or if they're for sale or what. The new crazy Soar shorts with all the, like the wavy things on the, it's designed to come extra, not extra, but like specifically compress the muscles as you're running. So that way there's just less jiggle. It's supposed to help with fatigue. And then the Adidas half tights that they gave us a pair of. They had already sent me a pair, I think, before Boston. But those also have like wavy lines in them. And it's not just a design. It's functional. It's supposed to like compress the muscles very specifically and be extra stretchy in certain areas versus others to help kind of keep, you know, the sausage in the casing, I guess, of your thigh. And I think that I'll probably race in those shorts more this summer when I do shorter, faster stuff. But for longer stuff, I just think I need the compression. And the Metaspeed versus the Fast R2. I mean, there's times where I'm thinking about, oh, maybe I should have run in the Fast R2. But I was really happy with the Metaspeed Paris, the Sky Paris. I felt like it was a great shoe. Richard Smart says, just wondering your opinion on a reasonable amount of time to shave a 2:11 half marathon down to 159. I think it depends on how long you've been at 2:11. I think it depends on what your current mileage is. So I think it's hard to say. It could be as few as next time you're out there. After one more training block, you could probably do that. It might take a lot more. I need more data. And I'm also not a coach. So I don't really know. Frank says for London Marathon, they should just use Nick from the New York City Marathon for the rejection letter. He should just be the official rejection letter guy for a World Marathon meet. Just the same guy over and over again. Every time Nick travels somewhere in the world, people be like, I don't know why, but I hate you. Oh my goodness. That's so funny. Yeah, Calvin says they lowered the stack for track races from 25 to 20 millimeters. Why? Who knows? I don't know. I didn't know that they did. I don't keep track of it really. Calvin says, I think On will be fine. They've soared in market share despite having terrible shoes for years and years until recently. That's so funny. Speaking of On, I did run in a new On shoe today. I'll tell you guys about it tomorrow because I didn't. I forgot that I hadn't unboxed it for you guys yet, but I did film it and then went for a run in it today. But I did weigh it, so we'll add it to the spreadsheet tomorrow, or maybe we'll add it to it today. And Tony has some details on the World Athletics rules. If you're racing in a prototype, it has to release within 1 year of being added to the approved prototype list, or it can't be used in races after that. A new prototype would have to be submitted and approved for use. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you can pretty much just, as long as you're resubmitting, you can just keep doing it forever. And if it's been like a year, you just have to change the prototype a little bit and say it's new, it's different. See, I feel like we've just basically gone back to the way it was before. All right. Eliza says box, box, box. All right. Let's go. We'll do the shoe one first because then we can do some spreadsheet madness as well. This box is from Deckers. I think a lot of you guys have seen it probably already on the internet. If you watched my Boston Runners Weekend video, I talked about it a little bit there. Or did I? Anyway, I went to the Fly Lab that Hoka Insidious Mag had in Boston, and they gave me a really good rundown of the shoe there, a lot of detail, and they were like, and we've got a pair for you. And I was like, I'm going from here to London and then to Germany. Can you mail it to me at home? And they're like, you know what? Let me check. We might already be sending you a pair. So I was like, please do check. And they did. They had already sent me a pair, so it was already here by the time I had like met them in Boston. So I was glad because like I just so much luggage for this trip. But this shoe is, just want to make sure it's the right size, the Hoka Skyward X, size 9. So this is a big one. This is a big shoe. I saw it in Boston. And look at how gigantic this shoe is. It reminds me very much of a Endorphin Shift. But I've been told it's not like an Endorphin Shift. It's not like a sneaky stability shoe. Although they did tell me because it is very wide in terms of the footprint, it does have like some stability elements. It doesn't have like the J-frame or like the any of the other things that you might see like in an Arahi or a Gaviota from Hoka. But it is a bit more stable. I've forgotten all the details about this shoe. But there is a carbon fiber plate here that looks very weird. There's just a lot of cutouts in it. It's kind of like a double H going through, like an H, but with two cross members going through here. So it's like carbon wire framing almost rather than a carbon fiber plate. It's intended to be like a chill shoe made out of premium materials. So it's not intended to be a racer. I asked them if this is supposed to be an Endorphin Shift competitor. They said no. I asked if it was supposed to be a Bondi X replacement, and they said no, but that's an interesting way to think about it. I don't know what's going on at Hoka, but the, every time I talk to them, I'm like, oh, this seems like it could have been a Bondi X too. They're like, oh, that's interesting. We hadn't thought about that. And when I saw the Cielo X1, I was like, is this the Carbon X3 or Carbon X4? Or was the Carbon X going away? And they're like, oh, we hadn't thought about that when we made this. So I just don't know if they like forgot about what other shoes they already have. But this is called the Skyward X. It's lighter than it looks. It's a giant shoe, but it's still not a lightweight shoe. It's going to tip the scales pretty heavy. And I feel like there are some premium foams in here. Exactly which ones and how much, I don't remember. I'm still recovering from my trip, and my brain is not working very well. Maybe some of you guys know. All right, Calvin knows. Top red part at the back is the PIBA top layer. The rest is supercritical EVA, similar to the Mach 6. Thank you for the assist, Calvin. And Grant says, 48 millimeters of stack height. It's a tall boy. 5 millimeter drop, PIBA and EVA, and the double H plate. I got the double H plate. Right, man. You guys have all the stats. Ron Will says it's going to be 10.6 ounces. I think it's going to be more than 10.6 ounces. That I remember. But you know what? We got a scale for that. Where's my scale? And then it'll be spreadsheet madness time. Hold on, let me get the spreadsheet ready. Guys, this is like my favorite part of the day. I got to tell you. Share, present. Share screen. Go. Let's go. Okay, here we go. Boom. All right. I think we need to make that a little bit bigger. Can we see it now? Okay. There. We've got from Hoka Skyward X. 0 miles, right shoe, size 9. Oh, you guys are going to get mad if I don't capitalize it. And it's road. All right. zero this guy out. And the weight that we have is, boy, this is heavy. Mine's coming in at 11.0 ounces. So 11, oh, wait. I got to, and let me zero it again. 11.1 ounces. Oh, boy. By the way, my weight standards will be coming in, I think, at the end of the week. So then we can really calibrate this scale. 316 grams. Okay, let's get this. Let's get this back up here. Okay, 11.1 ounces, 316 grams. Oh boy, where does that? Where does that put us? Where does that put us? 11.1 ounces. Ooh, this is one of the heaviest shoes on the list, and certainly the heaviest running shoe. This comes in heavier than the Deckers Lab U Enduro Max Low. Whew, because it's 11.1 ounces. That's a heavy shoe, guys. That's a heavy shoe. Steve McCallum says, I was just explaining spreadsheets to my 7-year-old just yesterday. And Duke BB says, you got to guess the ounces without going over. Oh, you went over by a little bit, guys. Daniel Burton wants to know, are you using a Google scale? No, it's Pitney Bowes. Pitney Bowes. All right. Eliza says, porker of a shoe. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The last shoe that I remember that was like 11.1 ounces, I feel like was like an old Ultra Boost or something like that. Like there was a lot of Adidas shoes that came out like right about when I stopped reviewing the Ultra Boost. I felt like there was a lot of Adidas running shoes coming in at like high 10s, low 11s. So it's not uncharted territory. But the person that I talked to at Hoka mentioned like multiple times that like the idea for this shoe is not that it's a race shoe. It's not supposed to be like, I don't think it's supposed to be like a super blast type of shoe. It's not a Primex, but it's supposed to be for just like getting in a lot of miles, cruising along, being comfortable and just really enjoying the ride. So it's something that's really comfortable and, but moves well. And so I was like, Bondi X2. And he's like, no, there's not. I don't think he said there's not going to be a Bondi X2, but he's like, no, it's not the Bondi X2. I'm like, could have been a Bondi X2. I just feel like this looks like a Bondi X2. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's something specific about the brand that they're trying to segment. But this does have a gigantic plastic heel clip in the back. Oh. Yeah, it's a big one. There's just so much foam in here. But there we go. Adam says the weighing is the hardest part. Sega Dreamcast says, I don't think you'll feel the weight in the shoe. I don't like holding it, it doesn't feel like it's 11 ounces. You know what I mean? So it's like I think I'll be fine for it, you know. What is the Primex 2 weigh? Where is that? Like I know this won't count for spreadsheet madness, but let's see. Oh yes, Primex 2, 10.7 ounces. So it's 11 ounces is heavy, you know. Grant Reese says most people I've seen run in the shoe say it's amazing for long runs despite the weight, eats miles and keeps the legs happy. Can still pick up the pace if necessary with the plate and the Piva. I think that's pretty much what they how they explained it to me. It's nice. I think it's going to be fine. I'm not too worried about it. And Calvin says it's to soak up your miles and be enjoyable the whole time. If the outsole is more durable than the Hokas normally are, I might have to get it. This to me reminds me a lot of Mach X. Where is that shoe? Where did I put that Mach X? I have no idea. I don't know where shoes are anymore. But it kind of reminds me of that outsole. I hope it's a little. This stuff, though, I feel like it's a little bit. It might be durable at the expense of grippy. That's my bigger concern is not that the outsole is not going to last. My bigger concern is that it's going to be slippery. I didn't like the outsole on the Rocket X2. I feel like it's slippery, even though this is a softer compound than what's on the Skyward X. But I felt like this was slippery. I felt like the Mach X was slippery. I felt like the Cielo Road was slippery. The Mach 6 I don't have a problem with. But this is definitely a different compound. It's not as... It's softer. It's grippier. Eliza wants to know how it smells. Oh, this smells very like a chemicals. I don't like it. You know what it smells like? It smells like almost, it almost smells like industrial cleaner. Kind of like what a, you know, just after they've cleaned like an airport bathroom. Because it has, it's like, you know, it's not really citrus, but there is a sweet citrusy kind of smell to it. I just could tell. I'm pretty sure those are volatile fluorocarbons. yeah. Yeah, Calvin says what you're probably smelling is the epoxy to bond the two foams and the plate. Maybe. You could see the plate sticking out a little bit here on the side. I know that that's seen as a feature, so that way you could see the carbon inside. You know, but like, I was, whenever I see the carbon sticking out on the sides, I'm like, oh, they made it for stability. It's basically a Mizuno wave plate. But I'm going to keep an open mind about this. Everyone that I've talked to that has run in this seems to have a good time with it. So hopefully I'll enjoy it too. All right. Let's get to the next box. Okay. This box came from DHL. And the only time I get things via DHL is when stuff gets sent to me directly from Shenzhen. Not that that's the only place that DHL packages come from, but for me in my line of work, whenever I get something from DHL, it's a package directly from China. And it is definitely packaged like an international package. Oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be a camera. It is not. Oh, boy. I think this is all the Fractal hats. I think this is the entire lineup of Fractal hats. Guys, this is like way too many hats. Hold on. I have to check my email before I show these to you guys. I got to make sure that I'm allowed to show these to you. Because I remember I got an email from Fractal. Hopefully it wasn't, hey, don't show the hats yet. Where did that email go? Fractal. There we go. Okay. No, I'm good. I'm good to show you guys. I'm not going to show you guys all these. This is way too many hats. For real. But I feel like we got to see what's in here. Sega Dreamcast says co-stocking stuffers for Christmas 2024. All down now. Yeah, I mean, I still have all of this year's Fractal hats sitting over there. I haven't even used all those yet. Okay. We got some fun. I think this is the one that I like the most. Let's try this one. Again, I just don't think bucket hats are for me. They don't ever look right, you know, but they are very useful and they do keep you many, many degrees cooler on a hot day. So maybe when I'm at the lake with the kids, I'll bust this one out. I like this one. I like this white one. This one is just wild. I do not think I could pull this one off. This one looks like a work helmet, kind of. All right. That's, I think we're gonna try. That's gonna be that for the bucket hats. I'm gonna look through these quick. I'll show them all to you guys as we go. You know. Terry says that the white hat is the bomb, and Vanessa Martinez, I think, is enjoying this. She says dad hat look, but I think she's liking the dad hat look. You know, and Runner Will likes the crazy one. That one is kind of fat. That one is kind of nice. I do like that one. I like this cream color. Ooh, okay. Here's one of these. I think that this is a little bit, I feel that this feels a little bit different. This material, the dog ears, are a little bit, it's a little bit lighter than it was last year, I think. I think that's the change to it. Okay, there's that. And then, oh, this one has extra light material. So this one, the dog ears are even thinner, and it feels like a moisture-wicking material. This is the one that I'd probably wear if I were running in the desert. I forget who it was. Someone asked me if I wanted to run marathon. Someone asked me if I'd want to run a hot marathon. In terms of like someone that could get me a bib was like, hey, it might have been Sports Tours. They were like, would you ever want to run a hot marathon? I'm like, I'm not really that good at running in hot weather. And they're like, it'd be in Africa. It'd be pretty interesting. I'm like, that's interesting. And he's like, it's not just a marathon. I'm like, is it Marathon des Sables? He's like, yes. Would you be interested? I'm like, no way. I would wilt before the race even started. But yeah. Steven says, come do Black Canyon in 2025. I think I'm going to try to get on to it for 2025. I think that'll actually work because I'm not going to run Boston or London next year. So I finally won't have like a spring marathon that Black Canyon can get in the way for. So I've been trying to find a way to run Black Canyon for years. But yeah. Oh man, they are doubling down on these. This one is white with the it's Polar Tech, but it's like a stretchy, I think, moisture wicking material. This I think is the one. Yeah, this is the one. I'm gonna use this when I'm mowing the lawn and stuff, because that's as heat extreme as I get, you know. Yeah, Calvin says the white looks crispy. I think this looks good. I mean, I think this works better for me than the bucket hat does. I think I can rock. The only problem is, like, what if I don't want this? Do you just do this? Is that what happens with these? I think so. I'm going to get a haircut soon, guys. Yeah. Here we go. I don't know what to do with these if I don't need the dog ears. Sean says he's literally LOLing at work. And Adam says it's perfect for bad water. Apparently, there's a couple of people getting sent out to Badwater to do a course preview. I'm not on that invite list, but there's a couple of people that are going to do that. All right. This is just a regular hat. It's like, what is this, red and maroon, maybe? This one feels like it would be really small. The visor, see how small that is? It feels like it's a cyclist's hat, maybe. Is that how you... I feel like this is how you wear this. I feel like if I were applying for a job at a bike shop, this is how I'd show up. There's that one. Then we got this one. Oh, I like this. This is a regular size visor. And I like this one. That's a nice color. I think this is pink. Is this pink? Same hat, but just in pink. I like it. I like this fractal logo better than the fractal word mark. And I think this is cream. I have the cameras in the studio set to overexpose a little bit, but I think this is cream and white. I like that one. And then I think my favorite fractal hats, though, are definitely the mesh that they have up top. Oh, I've never seen this before. It's new. And look at this on the bottom. I think this is my favorite one so far. Louis says it's purple. I think you're right. Then this one is black and green with some mesh on the side, but almost see-through material on the top. Look at that. You can see through. Different fractal logo with orange and red. It almost looks like a tiger paw print on the back because of this orange color. This, guys, this is like a colorblind test in this bag. I'm having a hard time. Red and yellow? Red and yellow? I think so. These are very bright colors. I don't know if I could wear that one. This one's another blue one, maybe blue. Fractal in a small word mark. Fractal in a big word mark. And then this one is black and gray, more of a trucker style. I like this one too. So here we go. I think my favorite was this purple one. Maybe the cream one. I think I'll try this one on. There we go. All right. Daniel Burton says, you will never run out of hats. That's for sure. I would never will. This is a lot of hats. Thank you, Fractal, for sending so many hats. There's a lot of hats. Yeah, Gender and Triangle says, this feels like a cruel color test for coat. This was hard. This was really hard, guys. My eyes are very confused, you know? Steve76 says, this is a font size column in your hat spreadsheet. Word mark. Alternative word mark. Graphic logo mark, you know, like there's so many kinds. Yeah, Adam says give extras to the homeless shelter. Yeah, I think I'm going to pick out a couple and then I'm going to take all the ones from last year's collection as well that I still haven't even worn yet. And then I'm just going to donate them to Goodwill. Because this is too many hats for one person to wear. But I definitely appreciate them sending me so many. But yeah, it'll be hard to pick which ones I want because I still have a couple upstairs that I've been putting in the rotation already. There's a black one and then a white one. I think those are the two main ones that I've been using. And then I'm gonna hold on to this one. This one I like a lot. So that's one that I'll get some use to. Maybe I'll use it for my 50K. I don't think I'm gonna need it for my 50K. I think I'm gonna get mad at that for a 50K, but you know. And Gender and Triangle says you should give them away as you travel on your next runner's weekend. Yeah, you know, I brought a lot of hats with me to London and I gave them all away. But those were Hat Projects hats. And so like not the Kapuzi ones. And so that felt natural to give away. To give away like, here, have a hat. It's not logoed in any way. You know, I feel that feels a little bit weirder. But yeah, maybe you saw a different one today that you like, you know. And you can pick up some of your own. Adam says, don't wear anything white on trails. Is that good advice? I'm not sure. Yeah, Raquel Escatel says, have you considered auctioning off stuff you don't use for a good cause, like Girls on the Run? No, not really. The only thing I've ever considered auctioning is like shoes I've worn, you know, because then there's a connection to me to it, you know? Yeah. You kind of have to be careful when brands send you stuff, how you use them or don't use them. I don't think I've heard any recent stories of it before, but I remember when I started doing this and I started getting stuff sent to me, I would hear lots of stories about people who would like, and it happened a lot, it seemed to happen a lot in the outdoor space where sometimes like jackets can cost $400, $500, you know, or like stuff with like ski bindings or like camping equipment and stuff like that. People would get stuff sent to them for testing and then they would sell it. And I think it's very, I understand why, but brands hate that. I wouldn't do that. So you have to kind of be careful how you do stuff. Tony says you can give them away as Trivia Tuesday prizes. Do you guys want these as Trivia Tuesday prizes? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that would work. Sean Devlin says, I bet you the white hat would be good during deer fly season here. Put some fly patches on the back of that. My neck always gets bitten. Oh, okay. Neck always gets bitten. Interesting. Calvin says, I'd love a Legionnaire just for the laughs. It is fun. It's a lot of fun. That time Drew and I ran in them, though, it was hot. It was so hot. And like immediately afterwards, the people from Fractal were like, hey, we make one with a thinner material. The one that you guys have isn't the hot weather one. You know, it's like we have a hot weather one. And so I think that's why I got so many of the hot weather ones this year. So that way I'm not complaining about how hot it is. But yeah, I'm going to have to message Drew to see if he got one of these. So the next time I see him, we could do another one shirtless in these. yeah, Ed Chan says, Linus Tech Tips had a big controversy after they were caught selling items that were given to them for review. I think that there was a little bit more nuance to that, though, Ed, unless there was a separate issue. If I recall, they got sent something that was some sort of prototype, and then they got rid of it somehow. Did they sell it? I'm not sure. Or maybe I think they had a charity auction. And they thought that they had just gotten like a unit from a company to review, but it turned out to be a prototype. And when the company wanted it back, they didn't have it anymore. And the prototype cost a substantial, shockingly high sum. And so I think that was the thing. But like, yeah, the general premise is, yeah, you can't really be selling this stuff. I do give mine away a lot of times to my nieces and nephews, especially the hats. They like, young kids like new hats. Calvin says, have you worn that CLA Sherpa covered hat you got a while back? Did it work? You know, I think it's still down here in the basement. This winter was very mild here in Crystal Lake. There was only a couple of really bad weeks, and I happened to be gone those bad weeks. So like there wasn't a lot of time for me to use that. It never got like cold enough for me to use that hat. I also don't know if something has changed in me, maybe because I'm getting older or what, but like I did not run in winter caps hardly at all this winter either. I ran mostly in like hats like these Fractal hats. So like I did a lot of that this year. So I didn't have a chance to try that one. All right, General Triangle says, full disclosure, I did not know this, but my husband follows Linus Tech Tips, and he happened to walk into the room as the topic came up, and he confirmed the same. Okay, so I have this story right. So there's a little bit more nuance to that Linus Tech Tips story, because it turns out they sold like a, accidentally auctioned off for charity, like a $750,000 prototype. But the underlying concept is they shouldn't have been doing that anyway. Right, Andrew Scott says, Co, it was cool meeting you at the Shakeout Run in Boston. Your group along with Believe in the Run and Tracksmith Group made for a huge group of runners. I feel like we had, like, between those three runs, they all, like, started within an hour of each other. I feel like that was, like, over 1,000 people. That's a lot of people to run down Newbury Street. It was. yeah, that was fun. It was good to meet you there, Andrew. All right. I think it's going to be a good place to leave it there for today, guys. I actually have some businessy stuff that I have to take care of. And then I have to go check out the rules for middle school state qualifiers so I can help my daughter figure out how hard she needs to race today because she does have a race tomorrow. But that's me. Tomorrow, let's play a game. We're going to figure out a game. I don't know. Maybe I can figure out a way to incorporate these Fractal hats in the game. Or maybe not. We'll figure something out. We'll play a game tomorrow, and we'll do another live stream. I'll have a lot more things to unbox, too. So same time as today, 1 p.m. Central. Hopefully I see you then. In the meantime, be safe out there, everybody. Thanks.